Turn back to Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5. The message this morning is a very simple message. I'm going to read one verse. We'll look at a couple other verses as we go along this morning. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope to give you this morning a reason why you should. I'm hoping that you'll listen, and I hope that you can just do your best to put everything else just out of your mind for just a little bit. I know there's other things going on. We've got kids up in junior church. Every once in a while, we'll hear them. And sometimes it sounds like an earthquake because there's a lot of them up there and they're singing and stomping and things on the floor. There's babies in the nursery. There's bills to pay. There's politics. You know, there's everything going on. And I just brought all those things back to your mind. Aren't you glad? I'm going to ask you if you would try to set those aside just for a few moments and look at this verse with me this morning. I think this could be a huge help to you this morning. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what you're about to hear from the Word of God will absolutely change your life. And not just your life, but forever, your eternity. The title of the message is called Peace with God. Peace with God. So look at verse number 1, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going to look at three words and phrases this morning. The first one is justified. The second word is faith. And the third is a phrase. It is peace with God. What a thought. Peace with God. Voltaire was the most influential atheist of Europe in his day. An atheist being someone who does not believe in God or believes that God does not exist. The most influential atheist in Europe, as he was dying, cried out, "I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. I will give you half of what I am worth if you'll give me 6 months of life." Voltaire's doctor said this after he passed away. "I cannot think of it without shuddering. As soon as he saw that all the means he had employed to increase his strength had just the opposite effect, death was constantly before his eyes. From this moment, madness took possession of his soul. He expired under the torments of the Furies." That was Voltaire. Voltaire is often lifted up as somebody to follow, as somebody to look to. That's how he died. There was a man who was a leading political organizer in the French Revolution. I can never say French words right. I know you're supposed to leave out about half the letters in the words, but I'm just going to say it how it's written. Honoré Mirabeau. He said this. He's about to die, and he said, "My sufferings are intolerable. I have in me 100 years of life, but not a moment's courage. Give me more laudanum." That would have been the medicine that would keep him from feeling. Today we would use a morphine. "Give me more laudanum that I may not think of eternity. O Christ, O Jesus Christ." Thomas Hobbes was a political philosopher and a skeptic who corrupted some of England's great men. As he was dying, he said this, "If I had the whole world, I would give anything to live one day. I shall be glad to find a hole to creep out of the world at. I'm about to take a fearful leap in the dark." What is it like to die without God? To die without having peace with God. Cesar Borgia said, "I have provided in the course of my life for everything except death. And now, alas, I am to die, although entirely unprepared." Sir Thomas Scott was a Chancellor of England. He said this as he was dying, "Until this moment, I thought there was neither God nor hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty." These are men who died, who through their life did not believe in God, but on their deathbed, something changed. Edward Gibbon was the author of Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. As he died, he said, "All is dark and doubtful." Sir Francis Newport was the head of an English infidel club. The infidel club would be our modern-day atheist club. As people were gathered around his deathbed, he said this, You need not tell me there is no God, for I know there is one. He was the president of the club that did not believe in God. He said, I know there is one, and that I am in his presence. You need not tell me there is no hell. I feel myself already slipping. Wretches, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know I am lost forever. Oh, that fire. Oh, the insufferable pangs of hell. Another man named M.F. Rich said, terrible horrors hang over my soul. I have given my immortality for gold, and its weight sinks me into a hopeless, helpless hell. These are men who did not believe in God, who did not believe in heaven or hell. Thomas Paine was the leading atheistic writer in the American colonies during the time of the American Revolution. An atheist, and he said this as he was dying, I would give worlds if I had them, that the Age of Reason had never been published. That was his book, trying to convince people that there was no God. He says this, oh Lord, help me. Christ, help me. No, don't leave. Stay with me. Send even a child to stay with me, for I am on the edge of hell here alone. If ever the devil had an agent, I have been that one. How is it that people who do not believe in God, do not believe in heaven, do not believe in hell, on their deathbed, their last words reference God, reference hell so often? Napoleon Bonaparte, again, French name that I can't pronounce very well, the French emperor who brought death to millions to satisfy his selfish plans. Here's what he said as he was dying. I die before my time, and my body will be given back to the earth. Such is the fate of him who has been called the great Napoleon. What an abyss between my deep misery and the eternal kingdom of Christ. There's a man named Aldemont, a self-proclaimed atheist. He called himself an infidel. He said this, my principles have poisoned my friend. My extravagance has beggared my boy. My unkindness has murdered my wife. And is there another hell yet ahead? Thomas Carlyle, another atheist. I am as good as without hope, a sad old man gazing into the final chasm. You've heard of Gandhi. About 15 years before Gandhi died, he wrote this. He said, I must tell you in all humility that Hinduism, as I know it, entirely satisfies my soul, fills my whole being. But just before he died, he wrote this. My days are numbered. I'm not likely to live very long, perhaps a year or a little more. For the first time in 50 years, I find myself in the slough of despond. All about me is darkness. I'm praying for light. The daughter of Joseph Stalin told about her father's death, and this is what she said. My father died a difficult and terrible death. At what seemed the very last moment, he suddenly opened his eyes and cast a glance over everyone in the room. It was a terrible glance, insane or perhaps angry. His left hand was raised as though he were pointing to something above and bringing down a curse on us all. The gesture was full of menace. The next moment, he was dead. We read in the scripture this morning, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference. What a difference to be able to face eternity with the peace of God in your heart. Each one of these were people who fought against God, didn't believe in God, were atheists, but on their deathbed suffered. On their deathbed, they had no peace, and many of them called out to God, called out to Christ. A Muslim woman asked a missionary that had come to their area, came up to the missionary and said, what did you do to our daughter? Her child had died there at 16 years old. Missionary thought she was blaming her for the death. She said, we did nothing. The mom said, oh, yes, you did. My daughter died smiling. Our people do not die like that. What happens? The peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified, as Brother Alexander said so well, is when a sinful person is declared righteous in God's sight. In Romans chapter 5, and verse number 6, the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified. When a sinful person is declared righteous in God's sight, when a sinful person is declared innocent in God's sight. When you're justified, you are seen as innocent. God looks at you and says, I don't see that person's sin, I see innocence. And beyond that, I don't see that person's sin, I see the righteousness of my Son, Jesus Christ, in that person. And that is the word justified. When you're justified, you're seen as guilt-free. The penalty of your sin is removed. What an amazing thing. The Bible says you can be justified by faith. We'll get to the faith in just a moment, but you can be justified. It doesn't matter how bad you are, what kind of past you had. When you stand before God, there can be something that happens in your heart where God looks at you and says, this person is justified. I see him or her as righteous. I'll explain how that happens in just a moment, but wouldn't that be an amazing thing? The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Listen, you and I have an appointment to die. It's not something I like thinking about really, but it's true. Every one of us will one day die. That's just a fact. You know it, I know it. And when we die, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, even more fearful than, or more scary, I would think, than dying would be standing before God. And I want you just to picture this in your mind just for a moment this morning. This is the God that created everything, as the Bible says, with just His voice. The Bible says He spoke and there were stars. He spoke and there was this amazing galaxy and this amazing solar system, this amazing earth. And He spoke and He created everything. The Bible says God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God created everything. He created life. And that God is the God that we will stand before one day. And that God is perfect. And that God is righteous. And that God cannot allow sin in His presence. Can you imagine standing before that God? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am a sinner. And the thought of standing before God terrifies me. Because I know what I've done. I know what a terrible person I am. I know my thoughts and I know my actions and things that I've said. And when I stand before God, that's a scary thought. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But what if somehow when I stand before God, I could have peace with God? And instead of God looking at me and seeing my sin, God could look at me and see the Savior's righteousness. Could you imagine that? God looking at you, and instead of seeing all the bad and all the wrong, God looking at you and saying, I see my Son in you. I not only don't see the sin, I see innocence. I see guilt-free. I see righteousness. I see perfection. How can that happen for you? What a thought. To stand before God and Him to say, I declare you righteous. Wow. That's what I want. Isn't that what you want? The Bible says all they that were not written in the book of life after this judgment were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. God will one day remove all sin cast into the place we call hell. The Bible calls it the lake of fire. And it will be removed forever. And the Bible says every person that is not righteous when they stand before God, every person that is not justified will be separated from God forever in this place that's called hell. In fact, I want you to see that verse. Find Revelation chapter 20. I didn't plan to show it to you, but it's so important that you see that I'm just not making this up. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11 gives us the description of that judgment day. And as it describes it, you've got God and you've got Him sitting on a great white throne. And you've got the dead. This would be people who've passed away who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will be standing before this throne. And I want you to see what happens. I want you to read it. You read it silently. I'll read it out loud. But I want you to see it because you need to know that it is true. It's Revelation chapter 20. It's in verse number 11. The Bible says, and I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That's a scary thought. To be judged based on what I did during this life. The Bible says in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. These are those who will stand before God who are not justified. These are those who have rejected Jesus Christ and His payment for their sin. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means all charges against you are dropped. That means you're forgiven. That means the debt of your sin is canceled, and God chooses not to remember your sins anymore. What a thought! To stand before God and God says, I see you as justified. And even if you were to say, but God, don't you remember when I... He'll say, I have chosen not to remember these sins anymore. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. What a way to stand before God. As if I'd never sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what if you could stand before God just as if you'd never sinned? Well, there is a way, and we're going to get there in just a moment. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Faith is based entirely on what God does, not what we do. Romans 3:24, the Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is entirely based on what God does, not on what we do. Also, faith is entirely based on what we cannot see, but what God says is true. So it's not based on what I can do. I cannot justify myself. I've got to put my faith in Jesus Christ for myself to be justified. But it's also based on what I cannot see. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. To be justified, I've got to put my faith in the promises of God, and that's something I can't see. Faith is based also entirely on its object, not on its participants. So what's that mean? You need to have faith in the right person. Peter in Acts had just healed a crippled man. Peter and John were walking up to the temple, and there's a beggar there that was sitting out asking for money. He couldn't walk. He was crippled. And he asked him for money, and Peter looked at him and he said, I can't give you money, but here's what I can do. And the apostle Peter looked down and healed this man. The Bible tells us that in the book of Acts. And right after he healed him, he said this, and His name, talking about Jesus, and His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong. What was it that healed that man? It was that man having faith on Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You don't have to have the best of faith. You just need to have faith enough to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. In fact, that's what the Bible says in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may say, Pastor Reyes, I would love to be justified, but I don't have enough faith to do that. Do you have enough faith to admit to God that you're a sinner and trust Him to forgive your sins? Do you have enough faith to trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross and accept His payment for your sins? For whosoever, anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to have the best of faith. You just need to have faith enough to call on the name of the Lord. You don't need to have lots of faith. You just need to have enough faith to act. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How do I have everlasting life? I believe on Him. It's not believing that He exists. It's trusting Him to pay the price for my sins. It's believing that Jesus is God. He died on the cross to pay for my sins, and accepting what He did in my place. So what is faith? Faith is based entirely on what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. The difference would be me working, me doing something to be saved. If I have faith that Jesus Christ did everything on the cross to pay the price for my sins, I can trust in Him. But if I don't have faith in Him, I've got to have faith in something else, and it'd probably be me. If I have faith in me, I would think I have to be good enough to go to heaven. I've got to do enough good to outweigh my bad. And that's never going to happen. I've got to do enough good to cancel out all the bad I've ever done. That's never going to happen. The faith that is needed for justification is a faith entirely in Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need to have peace with God? Well, because of sin. Sin is the enemy of God. Sin is God's enemy, and the problem is, I am a sinner. I've got sin in my heart. You have sin in your heart, for all have sinned. That makes me God's enemy. There's a problem here. I want to be justified with God, but I am now God's enemy because of sin. The Bible says this, for He must reign, talking about Jesus, for He must reign, that means to rule like a king, till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I am an enemy of God because of my sin. Think about this. When you came to church this morning, you probably weren't thinking, okay, here I go. I'm the enemy of God, and I'm going to God's house. It's probably not what we thought this morning. But every one of us, because of the sin in our heart, God says, is the enemy of God because of sin. I don't want to be God's enemy, but that's who I am. That is inside of me. It's the sin that's the Apostle Paul said is so well. He said, I've got this sin inside me, and it makes me do things that I don't want to do, and it makes me not do things that I ought to do. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. That was the Apostle Paul that said that. It's because of sin. Sin makes us the enemy of God. You know that as sinners, we're natural enemies with God. I mean, it's just natural. Okay, let me give you an example. If you were to go out on the African Serengeti, you're going to see two animals that are natural enemies. You're going to see the lions and you're going to see the hyenas. Right? You saw Lion King. You know this is true. Right? They're natural enemies. Nobody has to teach the hyenas. The mother hyena doesn't have to sit down with little baby hyenas and say, okay, when you grow up, we're going to hate lions, okay? And then make up a lion cheer like, go hyenas, boo lions, right? They don't have to teach them that. It's just natural. Okay, here's another one. If you were to go to the north, Canada, Maine, you'd find out that wolves and moose are natural enemies. It's just a natural thing. If you were to go to India, you would find that the cobra and the mongoose are natural enemies. It's amazing. In fact, God made the mongoose so that the venom of the cobra doesn't affect him. It would kill us. But it doesn't affect the mongoose. Amazing thing. They're natural enemies. And you and I, because of our sin, are natural enemies of God. So there's a problem. I am God's natural enemy. Something has to happen to justify me. And that something is faith. By faith, we see. It was our verse this morning. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I told you how some people died who were atheists. I want you to hear how some people died who trusted in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Queen Victoria, on her deathbed, told those around her that she loved God and was His little child. So she was ready to die. Then she called for the hymn to be sung, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. A man named Brownlow North, 1870. These are all a lot of old ones, old stories. He's a nobleman. He became a preacher. He said this as he was dying. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is the verse on which I am now dying. One wants no more. What a difference. What a difference. Now, we don't have these stories so much today because we have really powerful drugs. And if somebody dies today and they don't believe in God, you're not going to hear a lot of this because we'll just say they peacefully died in their sleep because they were on so many drugs. But somebody who passes away and is a Christian who's put their faith in Jesus Christ, has peace with God. John Nelson Darby said this, beyond the grave comes heaven. Well, it will be strange to find myself in heaven, but it won't be a strange Christ. One I've known these many years, I'm glad he knows me. I have a deep peace, which you know. Charles Wesley said this as he was about to die, I shall be satisfied with thy likeness. Satisfied. Charles Dickens, the famous author, said this, I commit my soul to the mercy of God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John Quincy Adams said this, this is the last of earth. I am content. What a difference. To be able to pass on into eternity with the peace of God changes everything. From Voltaire, who's lashing out and screaming, from Joseph Stalin, who the menacing, angry look, to this is the last of earth, I'm content. Benjamin Parsons said, my head is resting very sweetly on three pillows, infinite power, infinite wisdom, and infinite love. A Lord High Chancellor of England, his name is Earl Cairns, said this, God loves me and cares for me. These are people who are dying. He's pardoned all my sins for Christ's sake. And I look forward to the future with no dread. What a difference. Sidney Cooper, he was a member of the Royal Academy of Science in London, said this, I have full faith in thy atonement, and I'm confident of thy help. Thy precious blood I fully rely on. Thou art the source of my comfort. I have no other. I want no other. Catherine Booth was the wife of the founder of the Salvation Army. As she was dying, she said this, the waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over. Do not be concerned about dying. Go on living well. The dying will be right. Sir Walter Raleigh, he was an English admiral who was beheaded, and before he lost his head, he said this, it matters little how the head lies if the heart be right. And he looked at his executor, and he says, why dost thou not strike? As he was about to die. Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, said, I have but a moment to speak with you, my dear. Be a good man, be virtuous, be religious. Nothing else will give you any comfort when you come to be here. Another lady said, if this be dying, it is the pleasantest thing imaginable. There's a songwriter named Frances Havergal. He requested a friend to read her Isaiah 42. She uttered these 9 words after verse 6. She said this, well, here's verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee. And here's what she said, called, held, kept. I can go home on that. As she died, George Washington said this, Doctor, I'm dying, but I'm not afraid to die. Adoniram Judson was a missionary to Burma. He said, I go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ. The peace of God. The Apostle Paul, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said this, for the Christian, the grave itself is but a covered bridge. Can you picture a covered bridge? It's one of those bridges that has walls and a roof on it. For the Christian, the grave itself is but a covered bridge leading from light to light through a brief darkness. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, said, children, when I am gone, sing a song of praise to God. There was a man named Baxter. He was an English martyr. He died for what he believed. He said this, I have pain, but I have peace. I have peace. Adoniram Judson's wife, her name was Anne. She said, oh, the happy day will soon come when we shall meet all our friends who are now scattered, meet to part no more in our heavenly Father's house. A man named Everett, I believe he is being martyred, said the word glory, 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 for 25 minutes, and just kept saying glory until his life was gone. John Leith said this, can this be death? Why, it's better than living. Tell them I die happy in Jesus. What a difference. Martha McCracken said, oh, how bright the room, how full of angels. To be able to die having peace with God. Wow. There's a man named Owen. He was a Puritan. His secretary was writing a letter for him to send to a friend. And he said this, I am still in the land of the living. The secretary read that back to Owen, and Owen said, no, change that. Please do not write that. Say, I am yet in the land of the dying, but later I will be in the land of the living. I gave you a lot to think about this morning. Let me go back to our verse and we'll be done. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died so we can live eternally. Jesus is the payment for salvation. Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered hell. Jesus conquered sin. And trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior makes you a child of God. Trusting in Jesus Christ gives you an eternal relationship with God the Father. Trusting with Jesus Christ as your Savior gives you peace with God. Now this morning, if you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't put it off. The peace of God that can take you through this life, through the gates of death, what a difference it makes. Father, thank you for letting us spend some time together this morning. Lord, this is a challenging subject because it's something we don't want to think about. Lord, the people that call themselves atheists, the ones that would shake their fists in your face and would challenge believers, and they seem so strong and they seem so secure in their belief, even when they came to death, they called out for mercy and they passed on without your peace. Lord, I pray that this morning, those who are here who have not trusted you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today they would trust you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that today they would realize that like all of us, we are sinners. And the punishment for sin is to die and go to a place called hell. Lord, I pray that this morning they would call out to you in faith to save them. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to play. And before you do anything else, let me ask you to do this. If you would say, Pastor Reyes, I do not have peace with God. I have not trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I want to do that. I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Heads are bowed for privacy. Please do not look around. But if you would say, Pastor Reyes, that's me. And this morning, I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior because I need that peace. Would you raise your hand real high if that's you? You'd say, I don't have peace with God, but I want to have peace with God. Anybody this morning, you'd say, I need that. I've not trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I was to die today, I do not know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. I want somebody to show me how to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand if that's you? If you feel God just convicting your heart this morning, I can't describe it really, but I don't need to because you feel it. In your heart this morning, you know you've not trusted Jesus Christ because you feel God speaking to you, say, you need to do something about this. In just a moment, I'm going to have everybody stand. And when they stand, I'd like you to make your way to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'll have somebody meet you right there with the Bible, and they'll show you from a Bible how you can be saved, how you can have peace with God, how you can, by faith, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Father, I pray this morning that you'd convict hearts. Lord, do something that I cannot do. Speak directly to the hearts of the folks that are here this morning. And Lord, if there's someone here who's not trusted you, Lord, I pray that today they would trust you as their Savior.